Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
RPN is not responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be construed as medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show. Good evening, everyone. And welcome back to another episode of Saturday Night Livestream. Joining us tonight is someone who, in the Patriot community, I believe needs no introduction, but it is Miss Tina Peters. You know, Tina is one of those rare public servants who actually took her job seriously, and we can see what the state of Colorado and Jenna Griswold have done to her as a result of that. But she is also someone of incredible resolve, and I don't think that she's going to let anything stop her. And so we're going to be speaking with her tonight about everything that's happened since the 2020 election, the recent race that she just went through for Secretary of State in Colorado, also the current case that is ongoing, and I'm sure plenty more. So do me a favor, don't forget to like and share the broadcast. Help us by putting it out there on your favorite social media platform. You can share my post on Truth Social or Gab or Getter. You can post it yourself. Also, it's over there on Telegram, official Red Pill 78 channel. Also, you can always hit the plus sign on Rumble. Send some gold pills or red pills over there on the Foxhole. Certainly do appreciate the support. All right, without further ado, sit back, relax, and grab your popcorn, because we're going to be right back after this. All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us, and please join me in welcoming our guest for this evening, Miss Tina Peters. Tina, how are you tonight?
Hi, Zach. Hey, you know, we just, us Patriots, we just keep going, right?
Absolutely. Well, we don't really have much of a choice at the end of the day. You know, I've had a lot of people over the course of the last few years just kind of get fed up, throw their hands up in the air and say, you know, I don't know how much more of this I can take. But at the end of the day, I always say, you know, I mean, what choice do we have? It's either we save our country or we die trying. And I mean, there's really nothing in between.
That's right. That's right. Now more than ever, it's time for people to press in. And I've been traveling around telling people that you have to get out and let people know what's going on, because there's so many people that are still asleep, as you know, Zach.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the situation could not be more dire. I mean, especially as we get close to the midterm elections, you know, I think a lot of people are kind of waiting with bated breath to determine, you know, what's going to happen. I'd actually like to get your thoughts on this, Tina. You know, the 2020 election was one thing. I mean, that's a federal election, presidential election. They really only needed to steal one particular race in order to put us into the mess that we're in right now. But looking at how many races we have across the nation, you know, good America First patriots that are running for office, people who have never run before, people who are not interested in politics, but realized that they heard that call, they needed to get out there and do that. I don't think it's possible for them to steal every single election in every single state. You know, it's not where they just need five states to make sure they have enough electoral votes. What do you think is going to happen here in the midterms? Do you think we're going to be able to pull this through?
You know, it's interesting because I'm with a group of America First candidates from all over the country. And because we do communicate regularly, we're able to see some patterns going on, Zach. Some of them are, candidates have been approached and said and told, if you just don't say anything about the election, we will get you over the finish line. And of course, that's been very offensive to those of us that are transparent. And so, you know, there are one and people, I tell people, I say, they say, well, who should I vote for? I said, you need to vote for people that if you ask them about the election, that they haven't already compromised. Because I believe that if you're going to compromise before you're elected, you know, then you're going to compromise after. And so that's what's going on. But as far as the elections, you know, I'm concerned. I think we need to continue to get out and vote. You know, I've been on several, I think this is my third, conference today. And I just keep warning people, get out there, get involved, become informed, you know, tune into your channel, look at your past interviews, look at, Frank's speech, Lindell TV, get your information from trusted sources, not from the mainstream media, and become informed. If people aren't informed, they can't go and spread the word and inform other people. So I think it's important that that first of all, we do that. Second of all, we vote, we volunteer, and we know how they're cheating. Because if you know how you're cheating, how they're cheating, then you can intervene and be watching for that and letting them know you're watching.
Absolutely. You know, and a lot of their tactics are kind of based upon the idea that there's going to be, you know, a certain number of people that are going to be coming out to vote. They're kind of counting that a large portion of people are just going to stay home and just kind of believe what the mainstream media is saying. But if we're actually working at the polls, if as many of us as possible, I mean, preferably every single registered Republican voter in America would get out there on Election Day, but I realize that's maybe a little bit too much to ask. But more than anything, us working at the polls, us being in the count rooms, actually watching what happens in those quiet moments when they're anticipating that only Democrats are going to be the ones that are volunteering. Those are ones that I think are the most important.
And, you know, it's interesting. It's not just Democrat and Republican.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the alarm I keep sounding is we're having a lot of Democrats that don't like what's going on that are coming over to the Republican side. And then we have Republicans that are installed that are actually, I was talking with Christina Caramo today. And as far as she's got Jocelyn Benson, who I say is the twin sister of Griswold and all the criminal acts that these women and these people are committing. And it's turning off a lot of Democrats and they're coming over to the Republican side. And, you know, what we realize is it's a uniparty. It is the globalist. It's the Marxist. They've fooled us for a long time to pit us one against the other. And for those that haven't watched the Selection Code, you can see that. You know, sometimes it's the Democrats winning, sometimes it's the Republicans winning. But these are the chosen people that they're installing. And when these selections reach all the way down, as it did, as it's doing in most cases, to city council elections, mm-hmm. to school board elections, you know that they've been busy, really busy installing people.
I think you're totally right. You know, I mean, as distressing as it is, I mean, it's quite obvious that the reason we have this problem and the reason that it persists is because it is a uniparty issue. I mean, both Democrats and Republicans are benefiting from the inherent flaws that are built into these machines that allow for the cheating, the selections to take place. You know, and quite often for me, I don't know about anybody else out there, you know, but when I'm talking about Democrats and Republicans, I'm really talking about the rank and file. You know, I mean, we've got people of America and then we have elites by and large that have been running in elections and winning. And occasionally we get people like yourself who actually get elected. And hopefully in November, we're going to have a whole bunch of America First patriots that actually win their elections. And at that point, you know, maybe we'll have a real opportunity to address the issues head on. get rid of the electronic voting machines altogether and then move to a simpler and more secure form of elections here in America. We need to go back in order to look forward, I think.
That's right. That's right. You know, these machines are programmed with enough software to run the space shuttle. Mm-hmm. And they should only be just a tabulator, just a copier and a tabulator that tabulates how many ovals for which candidate. And there's so much more than that, as we've found.
So let's go back to 2020, because when watching Selection Code recently at the Moment of Truth Summit, you know, there were some things that I saw you say that I heard you talk about that I don't know that I had specifically heard you actually speaking about in such a manner before. I mean, it was really raw. And I suggest that anybody out there who has not had the opportunity to watch Selection Code, that you definitely go to Mike Lindell's frank speech and take a listen and, you know, actually watch it, because it's really, really good. And I think that everybody needs to have it on their playlist if they haven't. But, you know, what was it that you saw initially that really turned your head and made you say, I have to do something about this? I can't just allow this to slide.
That was a very difficult movie to make. Yeah. I have to tell you, that was a very, very difficult movie to make, because this, you know, when you have a, you know, in my case, I'm a 67-year-old grandmother. And, you know, I don't have any criminal past. All I wanted to do was reduce wait times in the motor vehicle department from 3.5 to 4 hours down to what they are today, and do good things for the people of my county. And, you know, it was after the 2020 election there, you know, I've heard all across the United States, but like I said in the movie, I didn't think it happened there. It was the secrecy of the Secretary of State. It was the, you know, when I was always very transparent. Come see all of our processes. Come see what we do here. When there were questions that I could not answer, and then the secrecy for a simple, what they call a simple software update, I started getting very suspicious, and especially after the April 6th municipal election, when I knew these people did not win. And there was one candidate who knew the results 30 minutes before the actual totals. So I released the totals. So it was that. And then it was the secrecy. And then it was the bullying by the Secretary of State. You know, I mean, having been a business owner for 32 years, you know, I'm one that you know, questions things. I don't just go along with, you know, it's okay, you know, just, you know, pat me on the head and send me away. It's like, you know, we've got some real concerns, and that's what happened. And what I did was not illegal. And what has happened since, if they had just ignored it, let it go away. But when you have Merrick Garland coming down from the very beginning on me in a small town like Mesa County, you know, you go, wow, you know, we have uncovered the belly of this beast, and they're coming after me. So I'll let you.
Well, it's quite obvious. I mean, that you hit the nail on the head. OK, you really ruffled some feathers. What you uncovered, what you came to the press about, what you tried to raise awareness about. I mean, it kind of peeled back the curtain and showed what they were hiding and why it was so important. And in such a small way, you know, like you said, you were just looking to do the right thing, and you had the opportunity to expose the entire machine. And if that was to be exposed in Mesa County, then it was exposed in the state of Colorado, and it was exposed all across the United States of America. So they had to come down on you as hard as they have. What have they charged you with, Tina? I know that there's like 7 felonies they're trying to go after you for.
There's 7 felonies, 3 misdemeanors. They're basing their whole case on me because what I did was not illegal. Mm-hmm. Making an image of a computer was not illegal. And in fact, it is written in the Colorado Revised Statute that access and audit logs, the 29,000 that they deleted, it is my job to preserve them. Mm-hmm. So, and also it says that in the law that these machines have to be in a standalone fashion. They can't be connected to the internet, nor have the capability of being connected to the internet. And when I'm watching these guys do this trusted build, and I look up and I go, well, wait a minute, that says wireless enabled. What is, you know, what's that about? And he says, oh, well, we can access it, but you can't. And I had no idea until the Secretary of State Jenna Griswold told everybody in a press conference that there were secret passwords that were revealed. My IT guy, my cyber guy that was going to do the image wasn't there yet. I'm, you know, recording what they're doing because, you know, they're working fast and furious. The guy that was from the Secretary of State's office was sweating. He was nervous. He was dropping things. I was suspicious. I was very suspicious on what they were doing. And a software update that takes a day and a half, you know, it was just too much, Zach, too much. It was too suspicious.
Now, the issue with the passwords being released, Jenna Griswold, explain that to us, because, you know, that seemed very strange to me. I couldn't understand, you know, why someone in your position would do that. And then on top of that, not believing what Jenna Griswold was saying, you know, I just tried to rationalize to myself, you know, why is she coming out and making these claims against Tina?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I made no secret whatsoever that I was taking pictures and recording this. You know, I turned the cameras off because this was not election. We turned the cameras on 30 days before an election, 60 days after election. I had said to IT to turn them back on August 3rd, which was still 30 days before I needed to turn them on for the November election. And so it was not a big deal. They made this a big deal, like, oh, something nefarious is going on. She turned off. But here I am recording, you know, and taking pictures of what they're doing to show the IT guy, because I don't know computers.
Sure.
And, you know, I don't know that what they're up there are passwords. I had no idea. No idea there were secret passwords. I thought that our election department, and we lock them up, were the only passwords available to the system. And when you think about a Secretary of State as liberal and as radical as Jenna Griswold and Dominion voting system having passwords to our election equipment, and there's 36 wireless devices, you know, during the election, the primary election, for my Secretary of State race, at 11:30 at night, they were transferring votes from one candidate to another. And the people in the elections office had left at 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Then when we made a big stink out of it, the next day they transferred them back over. These, you know, you would have to be blind to think that they're not manipulating the people's vote. And then, you know, when we get to where we were talking about how they cheated my race, mm-hmm. and other races using, and as it's going that night, I'm going, this is a classic Mesa County report number 3. I mean, it was so obvious what they were doing.
So
they want me to shut up. They want me to shut up. They want to villainize me and make me the they're coming after me. They're coming after me with a federal grand jury now, Zach.
Oh, good God.
Yeah.
So where do you stand with the trial that's ongoing currently?
Okay. So the state trial will be March 3rd. And that is based on an indictment. And, you know, people need to understand that, you know, lawyers will always say you can indict a ham sandwich.
Right.
So an indictment is not a proof of guilt. An indictment is the prosecutor's side only. They don't let both sides be heard in a grand jury trial and investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to bring all the dirt, everything they can make up, to convince a grand jury to put forth an indictment. But it's never based on the other sides, on both sides of the story. So so that is, the 7 felonies have to do with a stolen identity, impersonation. It all stems from the testimony of Gerald Wood. And Gerald Wood is the person. So, and this is out now, so I can talk about it. And I'm very transparent. I mean, I don't, you know, I told my chief deputy and my elections manager, I said, just tell the truth. I said, we would have to lie to give them what they want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just tell the truth. this, we were concerned. This is what happened. We made an image. It was perfectly legal to do so. So this gentleman, Gerald Wood, stepped up and said he would be, you know, he was happy to help with do his thing for the country. Well, but he didn't know how to do an image. He didn't know how to do a backup image. So we, so there was a gentleman that was a high level top hat forensic cyber expert, and he had agreed to come in and do the image. The problem with it, what were two things? He had, he had just exposed a very high profile, large organization that was an anti-trafficking organization called Backpage. Mm-hmm. He had asked me, he said, if you will keep my identity secret. Because at that point, it had just gone down. It was pretty raw, you know, and these guys are not, they don't play nice.
Sure.
These human traffickers. And I agreed to do that. Well, at the same time, on the other side is Jenna Griswold saying, you can't have any of the publican, because I'd ask to have the publican, I'd ask to have the press in. You know, we always did that. We did that for the logic and accuracy test before an election. We would post up 7 days in advance, this was going on, to the community, come see what we're doing. You know, and then the risk limiting audit after the election. This wasn't even during an election. This was during a so-called trusted build software update. And there shouldn't have been that level of secrecy. She said I could have two employees there. Well, we didn't have him to be able to come in and go and for me to get a badge. And you know what? Thinking back, you always think back, what would I have done differently?
Mm-hmm.
As the clerk and recorder, I can have the law says that I can have anyone in there that I want to, as long as they're accompanied by someone with a background check. And do you know what our background check is? In our elections department?
Please tell.
It's a $5, 5-minute Colorado Bureau of Investigation, CBI check that just says if the person has a felony or not. It's okay. Not a background check. It's just a check to see if they have a felony. It takes 5 minutes and it costs me $5. So this gentleman, you know, volunteered to do that, to make Jenna Griswold happy to be an employee type of person. We have vendors come in all the time, Zach. You know, when I took over that office, there was badge number one, badge number two, vendor badge number three. Didn't even have names on them, you know. And I stopped all that. I said, I want to know where all these badges are. We're deactivating them and that sort of thing. So, you know, if I could have had him in there. The only thing is the Secretary of State had sent an email because she was so paranoid about this, about people knowing what she was doing. She sent out an email that said, when we get there, if there are people other than the employees, in my case, it was two employees, in other counties, you could have eight, and myself, if anyone other than the employees that you have said are going to be there, so we had to let them know 5 days in advance, what employees were going to be there for this trusted build. So Gerald Wood stepped up and said, I will do this for my country. I will give my name and I will go get the badge and you can use that. So that's exactly how that went down. But in this email, she said, when we get there, when Dominion Voting Systems and the Secretary of State employees get there, if there's anybody in the room that's not on this list, we will turn around, we will leave, and you will have to ship your equipment to us for us to do the trusted build at your cost, and then turn around when we're done and ship it back. And I thought, there is no way I'm letting this election equipment leave and get into this criminal's hands. So that's how that went down. And so I'm being the whole indictment, because we found out later that this man, his attorney, was best friends with this crooked DA, and he had got him to flip on me and say that I had stolen his identity, and criminal impersonation and all these kinds of things. That's what the indictment's about. And then get this, this gentleman, Gerald Wood, was at the symposium when all this broke. He sat in for hours with me and my two attorneys, And then he flew back to Grand Junction to Mesa County on Mike Lindell's plane. Mike Lindell paid for his, I mean, talked to all the people, told him how grateful he was. He talked to all the cyber experts at the symposium. And then he pretends like, well, I was hoping to do work with Tina, and then she took my badge and never called me again. It's just, it's craziness.
This was one of the most shocking things for me to hear in Selection Code, because, I mean, it means that virtually the entirety of this indictment against you is a complete fiction. It's completely made up. And I knowing the deep-rooted connection that this man had to everything that was going on in a positive way, knowing that he flipped and is telling this lie, and you may end up in some serious trouble as a result of it. I mean, that's horrific. It you're at the mercy of someone who is being completely dishonest. And, you know, so my question is, you know, how are we going to prove, or can you, I don't know if you can talk about that. I mean, because this is probably going to deal with your defense, but is there a way that we can prove that what he's saying didn't actually happen? I mean, is there anything that we can put out there or that we can present to show that he's lying?
Well, there were plenty of witnesses there.
Okay.
There were plenty of witnesses that were on the plane with him. Joe Altman was on the plane with him, and he was bragging to Joe Altman about how he was so proud to be doing this for his country and all of this. So, you know, Mike Lindell was paying for his attorney. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Mike Lindell is a patriot. He has spent $35 million of his own money to protect the integrity of our elections, to expose the problems so they can be fixed with these elections. And here this man turns around and changes his story. You know, who knows what he was promised or who knows what he was threatened with?
And, that was my next question. You know, I mean, like, what possibly could they have done to him? I mean, either by promising, you know, wealth, riches, or, you know, who knows what, or by threatening to put him in prison. I mean, this is an officially sanctioned activity that you, as the Mesa County clerk and recorder, have the legal right and responsibility to do.
Right.
And you are bringing him in, making him part of the team. It's official. All right. And, you know, who better to do it than somebody with his credentials? You know, so perhaps they might have threatened him or his family or something like that. I don't know. Hopefully he'll end up testifying in the trial, and perhaps he can perjure himself a little bit more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So then there's a federal. So that's March 3rd.
Mm hmm.
Then there, as most of your viewers know, they just took the cell phone of Mike Lindell and Dr. Doug Frank.
Yep.
And they want to, all because of this Mesa County, what they're calling a breach. There was no breach. Mm-hmm. There was nothing changed unless they're the ones that have changed these settings. You don't have to change settings to make a forensic image. It's just a picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a moment frozen in time and that was before and after. You know, they're not beyond framing someone, I'm sure, you know, framing, you know, to get their narrative across. But then again, we'll do another forensic image and see what time and date those changes that they're trying to say were made. You know, they've done a lot with trying to taint the jury pool. There's been close to 500 articles in my town written negatively about me above the fold. You know, the DA is in on it. The judges, Polis appointed, Governor Polis, the one that just passed the egregious, you know, let's kill a baby up until the time of birth bill or law, and let's consolidate all the elections away from the 64 county clerks into the hands of the Secretary of State. And he has appointed the judge who is restricting me from, even as of late, going to visit my late son's grave at Fort Rosecrans in Point Loma. You know, I'm a Gold Star mom. I lost my son in 2017, Navy SEAL, served this country. You know, we come from a long line of patriots. Every man in our family has been, has served this country, and some women. And for this to be the state of affairs, you know, what have we come to?
It's disgusting. Under what rationale can he say that you can't go visit your son's grave?
That I'm a flight risk because I have access, because I have three attorneys and access to a private plane. And when I wanted to go to the viewing, I was going to go see my mom and my daughter. My mom's 93 years old. You know what she said the other day to my daughter? She said, "I hope to get to see I hope to get to see Tina before I die."
Oh gosh.
My dad, when they put me in jail, my dad died that night. Oh. While I'm in jail. So upcoming is his funeral. And we'll see if they keep me from going there. But they didn't let me go see my mother. They didn't let me go see my daughter, my granddaughter. They didn't let me go see my son's grave. They will not let me go because they don't agree. I was supposed to be in Arkansas today in person speaking at an election integrity conference. I was supposed to be in Portland, Oregon. I was supposed to be in Nevada many times, in Arizona. And I listen to this. I was at a, surrounded by law enforcement. I was in Las Vegas at a constitutional sheriff and peace officers association conference speaking with Sheriff Mack and all these wonderful patriots, right?
Mm-hmm.
The judge pulls my travel, orders me home, and issues a arrest warrant for me. I had to go. Post bond again. I thought I was going to be arrested at the airport. Mm. Had to stay with my attorney until he could arrange a hearing. And then right after that, I sent a blanket email to all the clerks in Colorado and election staff saying I was going to do a hand recount of my race. And because one of them went to one of the employees in my office, they issued another arrest warrant, said I had violated my bond. So the things they're doing, you know, and for them to kick me out of my office, completely kick me, I'm an elected official. Mm-hmm. The only way you can take an elected official out of their office is by a recall of the people. Mm-hmm. Whoever the people vote for, it takes the people to take them out. So these are lawless. They're lawbreakers. They are corrupt.
It's criminal.
Elected. And this is what happens when people are selected and not elected. And we're seeing it all over the country.
So, Tina, what's the response been from the people that you represent? I mean, I've seen all of the negative coverage, you know, I mean, just in trying to do prep for the shows that we've done together. I mean, it's almost impossible to find anything in the first 20 pages on any search engine that isn't written from a completely biased perspective into what happened to you.
Right. Right. Well, the people, the patriots, you know that none of it's true. Unfortunately, the mainstream media, the people that are still watching the mainstream media, which is owned by six people, mm-hmm. That's not factual. The Mockingbird media that are told what to print and what to say. We've got to get the truth out there, Zach, and you do such a great job of that.
Thank you.
And there's others. That's where I'm at right now. That is my main thrust right now, Zach, is we have to let people know what's going on. I've told people, I said, get this movie and have home parties, you know, invite your friends over, send the link, you know, put shows like this out to your friends, your family. This is an urgency that we can't even underestimate. I mean, Governor DeSantis, his elections person was just, in my opinion, murdered. You know.
I didn't even know.
Yeah,
that.
I don't know how many people. So you can. Florida election crimes chief dies, issued dire warning weeks before death. And that's that is on the Gateway Pundit. You can find it on the Gateway Pundit. Okay. It says Pete Antonacci, you know who he is, top election cop and longtime GOP official, dies of heart attack. Well, you know, they can give you a needle. They can stick a needle in your ribs and you have a heart attack.
Absolutely.
Well, they tried to do that with Mike Lindell at the cyber symposium. Yeah. There's a way you can do it. my chief deputy, when she fell out of her RV, hit that same spot in her ribs and had a heart attack. So, but that's something that people, and you know, if you want me to share what's just happened, I think
please,
it's a very sensitive subject for me. And I don't want to scare, I don't want to say this and scare people away, Zach, but I've always been a truth teller. I won't hide, you know, I'm very transparent. I won't hide behind this, but this is so important right now for every single patriot, every single American, whether you're Democrat, Republican, unaffiliated, to know this. My, in August, a week before my chief deputy agreed to take a plea deal, her brother, her precious brother, I know him, and he takes care of his wife, who has advanced Parkinson's that cannot drive. Mm-hmm. And she took care of him, my chief deputy, and took him to all of his doctor's appointments at the VA. He's a veteran. He was walking and was struck and killed by a car.
Oh my God.
Okay, but if that's not strange enough, and then a week later she took a plea deal, my elections manager, that you'll see both of these precious ladies in this election code, my elections manager, Sandy, that I talk about in selection code and what they did to her daughter. Her brother was on a motorcycle, 8 children, 49 years old, and a car hit him and killed him. So, you know, we're not playing around right now. This is a serious game. Well, it's not a game. It's real life. These people have a lot at stake. Mm-hmm. For us knowing this information, and you know, and if they have to take us out, they'll take us out. But I always say, when I speak, everywhere I speak, I say, everybody do something. Everybody do something. They can't get us all. They might take out a few of us, mm-hmm. you know, and, on the front lines. But this is our country. You know, this is our republic. They are hell-bent, these Marxists, these CCP, these globalists, are on making America disappear.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. They have a lot at stake, you know? And I mean, it's horrible every time I hear stories like, I mean, it's obviously, we can't say with any certainty, but like, geez, oh, Pete's. I mean, that's a very, very close correlation right there. And
1 month between. One month between, and very integral to this case.
You know, it's obviously not above these people. I mean, this is one of the things that people have said to me. Oh, you know, how can you believe in, you know, these conspiracies? You know, why would they go to all of these lengths to try to stop people or to try to keep information from getting out? And it's like, quite literally, we're talking about billions of dollars that are at stake here. We're talking about a level of power that you can't possibly fathom unless you've been in those circles. And those people will quite literally do anything to maintain that power, to protect that wealth, and to ensure that they continue to get whatever they want. I mean, we have a real problem in America with psychopaths, quite honestly, that have gained massive positions of power all over the nation. You know, those people are the most driven to rise to the cream of the crop, to be there up at the top and get whatever they want from their own minds to materialize right in front of them. And they don't care how many people they have to kill, how many people they have to run over the entire way. They're going to do it, and they're going to get exactly what they want. And the only way that that keeps happening is because not enough of us have been involved. We've been too content to believe that somebody else is going to go ahead and do it. But nobody else is going to save us. I mean, we have to each be responsible for the future that we want to see here in America.
That's right, Zach. You know, I tell people, I say, you can't depend on our President Trump. Mm-hmm. You can't depend on Mike Lindell. You can't depend on me. You've got to do it yourself. You've got to take up arms and do what you can do on a local level to influence, whether it's running for office, whether it's being a poll watcher, but you have to become educated on what's going on. I didn't get involved, Zach, until 2016, and I'm team meeting and I went, oh my gosh, I thought people that were good at this were involved. I can't let that woman get into the White House. And I started walking and talking to people, and I would just walk up to the door and just say to them, I'd say, you know, I'm a volunteer. I'm Tina Peters. I just want to know how you feel about the election. And then I would listen. I would just listen to them, and I felt their heart. And they want the same thing that we do, no matter what party they are. They want their freedom. They enjoy their freedom, and they want to keep it that way. And we're going to lose it. You know, some of the talks that I've done lately, I've taken out the Declaration of Independence. And instead of the king, when it mentions the king and all the infractions that the king did, mm-hmm. I've put in the Biden regime. Try that. I challenge everyone to try that and see how similar, how exact. It's scary how exact it is, how they opened the borders, brought mercenaries in, mm-hmm. Changed the laws. It's so written for today.
Absolutely.
And we're going to all have to become involved.
So I saw last Mimsy in the chat said she didn't know what elected position you held. Tina Peters was the Mesa County, Colorado clerk and recorder. And Tina, that term would have ended here in November. Is that when your term would have ended, or in January, perhaps?
So I was going to run for a second term and then decided I was going to go right into the belly of this beast. I announced I was going to run for Secretary of State on February 14th, after the Biden administration again sealed and wouldn't let out the J. Alex Halderman report. And I said, I'm the only one that can do this. But as the clerk and recorder, I'm over five divisions, which are motor vehicle recording. So all the marriage license, all the land recording, that sort of thing. Clerk to the Board of County Commissioners, Board of Equalization, and elections. So I'm over and accounting. So I'm over five divisions. And one of them is elections.
Okay.
All the elections.
And I suppose we should also talk about your run for Secretary of State and how that's going right now. Also, you mentioned something very important, the Halderman report. We just had a suit that was filed in Pennsylvania against Fulton County, Pennsylvania, against Dominion Voting Systems. I'm really, really excited about that, because if that case is dispensed as it probably should be, then it's going to set a tremendous precedent for other clerks and other counties all across America to deal with these electronic voting machines. Before we talk anything about that, please, mm-hmm. let's talk about your run for Secretary of State, because I've had both you, I've had Peter Lupia, David Winnie, several other candidates from Colorado that were all involved in this recount. And so how did that end up?
Well, on election night, we knew that it was being stolen. I was 47% in a three-way race. We knew it was a classic Mesa County report number three happening right then. Mm-hmm. So I raised the funds. They told me it was going to be $236,000. I reached out to the kind people, the supporters that donated. I had the money to do the recount. And about a week and a half later, they changed the amount from 236 to 256,000, another $20,000, hoping to kick me out. Of course, it did kick some of the other candidates out in El Paso County, Colorado. But thank God I had enough to cover it. But do you know what that money was for, that extra $20,000?
Was it for a Dominion Voting Systems employee?
That's right. That's right. It was for Dominion to come in and tell them how to run the test and the recount. So let me just explain. So the test that they're supposed to do before the recount is they're supposed to go and randomly pick the canvas board, not Dominion, not the clerk, not the Secretary of State. The actual canvas board is supposed to go and pick a couple or however many they want machines. So the Dominion voting tabulation machines. So let's just say a county had seven machines, tabulators. So you might pick machine number one and machine number three. And then they say, okay, go get me the ballots that you process through machine number one and machine number three. And then they sit down and they actually do a mini hand count. Mm-hmm. So they count the ballots that ran through those machines, those particular ones, and then they're supposed to compare the total from the machine to what they get in the hand count. If that doesn't equal, if that doesn't balance and is not the same, then it goes to a judge. The judge orders, in my case, a state recount. What they did was they used fake ballots. Mm-hmm. They didn't use the voter verified ballots. So,
which is against the law.
Which is against the law. They broke the law. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we went to a judge. The judge said it was moot. It didn't matter. We didn't do it soon enough. And I was writing them letters and emails the day they started. So we took the money to them, the $256,000, to their office. And that night, in the afternoon, that night at 8, it was after business hours, at 8:03, I get an email that says, we're going to start the count in El Paso County the next morning, less than 12 hours. Well, as a interested party, as a candidate, I'm allowed to have watchers there, right? Mm-hmm. So you try to get watchers together at that short notice. It was meant to, you know, to make it impossible. So there were other ones that started that day. So they were rushing through this thing, finished the recount, ran them back through the fraudulent Dominion tabulators, going by the instructions by Dominion and the Secretary of State, and then said, "See, same number, same, you know," which. So now we've exhausted all the way through Colorado, and we are going to the U.S. Supreme Court.
That's great.
Once they do that, so once they rule that they have to do this properly, and also I'm asking to have that money returned, mm-hmm. As well, because when you find that it is it was not done properly. Or if when they do it, they find that it did not equal, then you get the money back. You get those funds back. So that's where we're at right now. It has to go to the Supreme Court. But with this case, when they count these ballots for all of Colorado, it is going to affect the whole United States. Because once and for all, we will have proof that the ballots do not match what the machines say.
What are you anticipating that they're actually going to find when comparing the electronic votes, the results that they reported, to the actual hand counted ballots?
Well, first of all, they're going to find that I won because I know exactly how they cheated.
Okay.
I know the people did not vote for the CTCL secretary and one of their five directors, Center for Tech and Civic Life, that funneled $470 million of Mark Zuckerberg's money and into counties that 94% Biden won. So first of all, I know that the people would not have chosen that or the other candidate that was put up by Obama appointed attorney general. So that's the first thing that will happen. And they will not equal. I mean, and here's what you have to understand about the third report. So the people that look at the third report or watch Selection Code will understand how they do this. The ballot goes into the machine. It takes an image. And then after those ballots are run through the tabulation machine, they're put aside. And this image is then a few days later, after about 25% of the ballots have gone into this first database, the voter intent is changed, and then it is transferred over to a second database. So if you can imagine a person having two sets of books, right? Mm-hmm. Illegal books, a bookie or a bad accountant, you know, a criminal accountant. That's what they're doing. So the clerk only sees the second database, and then the first database goes away. And so those images, so you can't trust the images. The images have been altered. They've been machine manipulated, and the way the voter intent has been changed.
Mm-hmm.
So you might equal the same number of ballots.
Yeah.
See, that's what I couldn't figure out. So wait a minute, how is this happening? We brought in X number of ballots and we ended up with X number of ballots. What do you mean? How could that? they're changing the voter intent
on
the ballot, on the image, not the ballot. So that's why we need the paper ballots.
Which, and that's why they don't want anyone to get their hands on those paper ballots. I mean, it's so simple. If you want to settle the issue, all you have to do is count the paper ballots. I've said this so many times, but, you know, it's like taking a stack of counterfeit $100 bills and counting it and saying, okay, yeah, you know, you have 100 $100 bills right here. But they're counterfeit, so they're not real money. It doesn't matter that you have the same number in stacks of paper. They're two completely different things. And if you examine it on its face, look at the evidence, then it's quite clear. And it's the obvious reason why they don't. It's the simplest answer, you know? I mean, so easy to go ahead and fix it. Real briefly over here on Rumble, I got a Rumble rant from Alive and Thriving. Thank you very much. They say they do it for power over others. The elites are driven like cattle by their overlords, rule by proxy, useful idiots, spiritual warfare, black eye club. Yeah, I mean, I think that's obviously it. And a lot of people, Tina, over on Rumble are saying that you're an American hero. And I have to say, I absolutely agree with them on that. Let's also go over to the Foxhole real quick and see if there's any specific questions over there. And then in about 10 minutes, guys, we're going to open up the phones for your calls. Thank you to Sean Joe, also to Boise Blanc 89. Timberjet says, we love you, Zach. At least I do. I've been around since your first show, never missed one since. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Sean Joe says, great show. Also, you are a brave and heroic patriot, Tina. Kaboomer, thank you for the can. Lynn's over it says, God bless you. Sean Joe, thank you for that. Life of Brian says, grassroots involvement will save the republic, good over evil. Sean Joe, thank you. Thank you to Lynn and Sean Joe one more time. NX17 and Lynn's over it. Sean Lynn. You guys, thank you so much. Sean Lynn. Kansas Mudcat, thank you. And then also to Sean Joe. Tina, before we get into the calls from the audience, tell me, what are your initial thoughts about that case in Fulton County, Pennsylvania, against Dominion Voting Systems? A lot of it seems to be geared towards the uncertifiable nature of these machines and some breaches in contract. A pretty simple thing, it sounds like, and something that I'm kind of surprised nobody had brought up previously.
These machines cannot be certified. They would not pass any type of federal certification. And so that's just been passed through. I mean, you can't have wireless devices in these machines. You cannot have the software that is able to flip votes. You know, when you look at the CITL software or the SQL software, you can't certify these. And then when you look at the lapse in certification, you know, we've shown that again and again, and people just seem to pass it on. And I appreciate Pennsylvania's doing this. And if we just keep putting the pressure on, you know, more and more people are going to start. I think everybody knows at this point. But once you know, you have the responsibility, you know, to hold your county officials and accountable. So I was asked today, you know, what can we do if we're a poll worker or we're an election judge and I had one person that said that it was very obvious that the signature did not match. And I said, you object to it. And then you go to law enforcement, you go to the sheriff, you present your affidavit to the DA and you ask them to investigate. And by law, they're supposed to investigate, get involved.
Yeah, I mean, it might take a little bit of time, but I mean, if you can imagine, I mean, all of us, if we're each one of us working in a polling place on election day, actually checking these things, and every time we see something, we put, you know, stop and immediately go and file the report, get the information out there. You know, you had mentioned earlier that you were at the group with the constitutional sheriffs. You know, this is another way that I think that maybe we could have a major impact. I mean, developing that relationship with local law enforcement and constitutional sheriffs obviously have a different role than just your average everyday beat cop. I think that they could be looking into a lot more of this too.
Yes. Yes. They are the law of the land. The only person that can arrest the sheriff is the coroner. And trust me, they're going after the coroners too. They're selecting coroners because of the whole the mask thing, the health issues, things like that. I mean, some of these coroners are saying when they do, these guys that are doing autopsies, when they see these COVID people that have died, I mean, their bodies, their blood is not the same.
Yeah.
So get involved with your law enforcement, educate them.
A human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
That's what people did with me, Zach. They came to me and said, "Hey," and I said, "Just bring me your concerns. You know, I'll find out." That's what you're supposed to do as an elected official, right?
Yeah. This is another thing we have to do, is to continue to try to hold those people accountable, because every single one of them took an oath to uphold and protect and defend the Constitution and to represent the people. They're in a position of trust, and they have completely destroyed our trust, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, there are so many elected officials out there, and so few of them, people like Tina, who have actually stepped forward and done the right thing. And I think that it would take a really small amount of pressure on some of the right people to kind of create like a cascade effect of people coming forward and actually taking action on this stuff. Because it has to happen. If it doesn't, then, you know, what do we have left?
That's right. We have to do it now.
Yeah.
We really do. We have to do it now. It's urgent.
All right, you guys, I'm going to go ahead and pass out the information for you to call in. If you've got a question for Tina, if you've got a comment on anything we've spoken about or anything that perhaps you've witnessed in your own life. And yes, I see people talking about those strange white clots that are not blood clots. It's I had actually read a scientific paper that had identified most likely what these are. When the spike proteins from the vaccine enter your bloodstream, they're essentially like popping all of your blood cells, and so it creates this massive hemoglobin inside your circulatory system, and then that is further mutated as a result of the mRNA. And then it creates these globules inside of you and completely blocks your arteries. And so it's almost like keratin. It's not really blood. It's not really blood cells anymore. And, you know, it's horrible to imagine how many people out there are going to be affected in the future, how many people have been affected so far. Just a reminder, guys, if you've got a phone and you want to call in, the phone number's on the screen, 646-931-3860. And then you're going to enter the meeting ID and the passcode. I'm dropping those out into the chats right now as well. But if you've got a Zoom account and you've got that installed on your phone or on your laptop, you can use the link that I passed out as well. Timberjet says, "I was there for Muffingate. You going to do anything else with Space Shot? One of these, Space Shot and I just did a show a couple of months back. But yes, I'm sure that we're going to do something again in the very near future. All right, we've got our first caller on the line, DJ Vector. Tina, this is a real treat. Vector is our Australian correspondent, so we'll go ahead and check in with him and see how things are going. But Timberjet, thanks for hanging out with us. I appreciate it. And Vector, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me, Zach?
I have 5x5. Yeah, it's coming in loud and clear.
Yes, you'll be pleased to understand that I fixed my problem with OBS from last time, so I deeply apologize.
I didn't know what was going on, but I wasn't going to say
it. I didn't know either, and I'm just like, what? I don't even know what to do. I was just freaking out. I'm so sorry. I'm not trolling you, bro.
No problem.
Just so typical what would happen to me. Hello, Tina. My name's DJ Vector from Australia, and I've been listening the entire show intently. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
Can I just ask you, are you actually in like home detention or something at the moment? Or like you can't go anywhere or do anything?
I might as well be. They keep denying any travel outside of Colorado. They don't want me to go speak to the kind people across the country that want me to come speak about this.
I was pretty bummed I didn't get a chance to meet you in person at the moment of truth. I was thinking for sure Tina's going to be here, and then come to find out they wouldn't let you go. That's
the DA said that when I put in for that travel request, said it was the most troublesome, or he used some crazy word to describe how appalled he was that I would even ask for such a travel request. And also he said that I was going to be there to be hailed as a hero and all this stuff. And he was just very disgusted by the whole thing. God. And was denying my request to travel.
Yeah. Get off your high horse, buddy.
Does that violate your First Amendment right to assemble how you wish and to speak? That isn't that against the law?
Well, yeah, everything they're doing is against the law. This is the same DA that let a man in our county with 26 pounds of fentanyl, the drug on probation, and they want to put me in prison.
It's absolutely insane, like the mirror world that we're living in. You know, I mean, you've got murderers, you've got rapists, human traffickers getting let out onto the street. People allowed to just roam freely. You know, they're out on no cash bail for a murder. They can kill somebody else. And meanwhile, we've got somebody like yourself who simply was trying to secure the election system that she had been elected by the people to oversee. And they treat you like you're some type of hardened criminal or something like that.
My bond was first set at $500,000 cash.
So did they want you to pay $500,000, or you would have paid like 10% of that?
No, they wanted me to come up with $500,000 cash bond, not a PR bond.
Wow.
We got it reduced to $25,000. I had to put up my house.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And they still think you're a flight risk.
I bet they try to breach you any way they can so they can get that money too. They'll try and get you anything they can. Yeah, I see
what
they're doing.
That's exactly what they've done. They've issued two warrants for my arrest since that bond was done. One for being at the Constitutional Sheriff and Peace Officers Association conference speaking, and the other for sending an email to someone that I was prohibited from going into my offices. None of my offices I can go to, and I cannot communicate with any of my employees.
So, Tina,
go ahead,
they do that? Because you are an elected official, and as you said, the only way that you can be removed is by a recall of the people, and certainly that hasn't happened. I mean, is there some type of legal precedence that they are quoting in allowing this decision to stand?
No, these are judges that don't follow the law.
Yeah,
you know, they make a declaration and that's it. They're even going so far right now in preparation for the federal grand jury and sending out questionnaires that ask this question: do you believe that something to the fact that people that commit election offenses should be prosecuted. So they're cherry picking. They're cherry picking the grand jury for the federal case right now.
Wow,
which is not really right at all. Did you guys see Tina? Did you see the interview that Red Pill did with Trump's personal attorney Peter Tichtin? And it was the first one, and they were talking about the election, and if it was being stolen, then that's a capital crime, which potentially could attract potentially the death penalty, you know, according to the law. And the next day, Media Matters wrote a piece, and that just blew up. Like they were trying to say all kinds of stuff, which is not what he was saying in the first place. He was just saying that's what the law is. These election things are, I'm not sure, talking about maybe necessarily on a state level, but on a federal level, surely, if you're stealing elections at that kind of level, then that's treason. And the penalties for treason is the death penalty, as far as I understand, from having read the code. Can you comment?
Well, they are. They're criminals, you know. But I think that this has gone on for so long, they feel very emboldened. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been selected, not elected. And so they feel very, I mean, Merrick Garland has been involved in this from the very beginning. So that should tell you something, right? And I'm sure that these DAs and judges, you know, my attorney thinks this judge has probably been offered a place when there's a vacancy on the Colorado Supreme Court. You know, who knows where this DA is going to go afterwards. You know, when you look at just the fact that they're coming after me, spending so much resources to come after me, and then let a guy with enough fentanyl to kill half the United States or more off on probation, it's pretty obvious.
Tina, how do we help you? The audience wants, my audience, my listeners, because I'm live as well now. We want to know, because what you told us about not being able to see, your father dying when you went to the day you went to jail, and you got the funeral coming up. You haven't been able to see your mother. You haven't been able to go and see your son at his cemetery, your Gold Star mom. This is really killing us. This is really upsetting my audience. So is there any way we can do something for you?
I think just get the word out, you know, get the word out, the injustices, and raise awareness of what's going on. You know, my job ends in 2 months, so I will be then unemployed. I'm using my own money. I just filled up with gas because I'm driving around talking to people, going to churches, going to different places to sound the alarm. And, you know, I'm doing, not to the extent Mike Lindell's doing with $35 million, but I'm putting my time, my treasure, because I believe in this country and I believe in other countries, you know, your country. We've got to, if America goes, you know, it's not going to be good. And so they can help me in, you know, we're forming at some point a nonprofit to go ahead so I can continue this work. And, you know, of course, I have my website for the recount, which is TinaPetersForColorado.com, and where they can reach me there and support Mike Lindell's Legal Offense Fund. You know, right now they're going after him and Dr. Frank along with me to try to get a federal indictment. So we appreciate all the help we can get with that.
Yeah. And don't forget, and you can support MyPillow and Red Pill 78 by using code RP78 at MyPillow.com.
That's right. Thank you, Zach, for saying that. Yeah, absolutely. buy through Red Pill 78, yeah. Mike Lindell's wonderful, wonderful products. Christmas is coming up, you know, and yes, please do support those that are getting the word out, really, so they can keep doing that. Thank you.
Tina and Red Pill, I just wanted to say, on my show at the moment for some time, I've had the MyPillow Red RP78 promo code. So I'm always promoting it on my show time. Yeah, because I don't have the MyPillow thing. So I'm like, well, I might as well do it because I want to support Mike Lindell and I know that they're good products. And I'm like, yeah, okay, so that's great. What else can I say? Yes, as far as America First goes, I may be Australian, but I understand that America are our allies and they're in trouble right now. So they're kind of like, look, Australia, we know that you're in trouble as well, but we're kind of busy right now. We're being extorted and destroyed by these globalist forces. So once we're sorted, then we can help you guys. So put the oxygen mask on yourself first, and then you can help other countries, other people.
Yeah.
This is why I fight for America. I'm an America First, United States patriot, born on the 4th of July, United States time. For me, it's more than just saving America, because I understand how serious it is, but I have every intention of coming to the United States. I haven't found a way to get there yet, and it's really difficult. I've got all kinds of vaccination stuff and visas, and it's very complex. But I will get there, and I can't wait to meet you, Tina. I'm really looking forward to meeting all of you patriots and Mike Lindell. I've already been invited, Zach, by Clay Clark, and
that's right.
He was pretty upfront, wasn't he? And that was that. I didn't know what to say. My family that didn't believe me at first, and they're like, no.
And I was like, you're welcome to clip that out and use it as a promo on your channel, or just send it to your family. Also, Vector, I found what I think may be a loophole to allow you to get here through alternative means. Are there any like major shipping lanes in any place there in Australia? Are there any ports that you could go to?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. You may be able to hitch a ride on a cargo ship. because they, I saw some guys that did it the other day. They hitched a ride from Europe to the Middle East on a cargo ship, and the cargo company just allowed them to come along, and they just hung out. They gave them a room and everything, and they were totally amenable to allowing them to do it. So check it out.
I will. I could even exchange services. Like, I'm a chef, so I can always cook for them. Or
there you go. Like that. Exactly. Exactly. All right. Awesome, brother.
Thank you so much.
As always, thank you for your call, Vector. We appreciate you.
I love you, Ripple, and I love you, Tina. We are behind you. We are with you. We will make sure that everybody knows about it. I will go to the Autism and Anon boards now, and I will post all of this and make sure that those boys just distribute this information everywhere, high and low. So thank you again. Thank you, Red Pill, to your audience. I love you, and I will see you after Red Pill's show for the after party.
All right.
On my channel.
Much love, Vector.
Love you.
Bye.
See you, brother. All right, good stuff. Also wanted to say thank you to Ventmore, who says, Tina, 07, and Godspeed. Karen Hare 7 says, I love her. Laura Dora, thank you very much for that cookie. God First, We the People says, great show, and we're keeping you in my prayers. Thank you to Lynn's Over It for 3 cookies, and then also Shades Last Rites. Thank you for the Shades and Spiritual Warrior as well. Just Duckies says, with all the backwards garbage hypocrisy these people are pushing, I'm so glad to have people like you two. Well, hey, guys, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we're one big giant family, and I'm very happy to wake up every single morning and know that I am going to be able to get on the air and hang out with all of you guys, too. So you mean as much to me as I hope I mean to you, and as Tina does to us as well. So let's bring in our next caller. Caller, you're on the air. Can I get a name?
Yeah, let me mute it. Let me mute Zach.
No problem.
I'm on it. This is Terry. You know me as Patriot RN. I've been with you since 2018.
You have been here since the beginning. Terry, it's so good to hear from you again. How you been?
Oh, if I was any better, I'd be you. I'm so glad that you're down in sunny Florida, but I do miss your flannel.
Don't worry, I still have a closet full of them, and now we're kind of getting into the winter here in Florida, so I'll bust them out again here soon.
You might get a chance, and, you know, I wish we could have met up with Thomas and everybody, but it just didn't work out. But we had a ball. I mean, I just love you to death.
Love you,
Tina,
too.
Okay, Tina, I want to tell you something. I am a Grand Junction native. I have 4 generations of ancestors buried in that sacred soil. I can tell you're not a Westerner from your regional dialect, the way you say Colorado and Nevada and MAGA. Welcome to my home state. I'm so proud of you. I could weep with joy that you're there doing what you're doing. And I want to assure you that patriots around the country are mobilizing in a huge way. I'm seeing the awakening immensely go on. And I've got friends and relatives all over the world. And Vector, I mean, my goodness, Vector, you remind me of Crocodile Dundee. I mean, this is a knife. I've been under investigation for years because of my activism, too. You just hang in there, kiddo. We're going to pull you through this. By the skin of your teeth. We're with you. We're behind you. We'll do it.
Thank you. You know, I think about it. I think, you know, all these wonderful people and praying for me and saying such wonderful things. And, you know, sometimes it's just like, are they still going to remember me if I go to prison? You know, are they still going to be doing these things? You know, you think of these things, you think, wow, you know, you're doing the right thing. You're going along doing the right thing. And then bam, somebody, you know, treats you like this, but you know, it's worth it. If I had it to do over again and the effect that it's had on you know, just exposing what's going on to our republic. I feel like, you know, my son was in the military, you know, my family was in the military, and I feel like we're all being called up. We're all being drafted into.
We are. Absolutely. I'm a military wife.
Yes.
And a medical expert. I was a nurse for 40 years. I saw through this garbage from the very beginning, and I tried to tell people. And now I'm picking up the pieces in my own neighborhood, treating people from this. And I've got the means and the knowledge to do it, but I knew this was a kill shot going in. When Luc Montagnier, who won the Nobel Prize for mapping the HIV genome, said there's HIV in it, I said, bioweapon. We knew it. We knew it. I hit the research. We knew what was going to happen. We knew the cytokine storm. I won't go into it. But I want to bless you and tell you that you're an inspiration to the world. And if you go to prison, I will send you a cake with a file in it.
I will. Thank you. How about some dynamite or something? I don't know if I can.
Now, I'm going to be 72 in a couple of months, and I have nothing more to give. And I will give my life. I'll take a bullet for people. So just hang in there, kiddo. If I need to drive out there, I can't fly anymore, but if I need to drive out there, it'll take me 4 days, and I will bust you out. We will have an old-fashioned jailbreak.
All righty.
I'll bring some Indians and cowboys with me, because I know that Grand Junction has actual cowboys.
right on.
Thank you.
Terry, thank you so much for your call. It's great to hear from you.
Love to you all. If I could give you a big virtual hug, like BCP used to say, a big virtual hug to the family.
Absolutely. 100%. All right. Godspeed. We'll talk to you soon.
Same to you, babes. Hang in there. Love
you. Thank you. Yes, and Tina, I don't think anybody would forget about you if the unthinkable happens and you end up in prison. Every single one of us will be there to help you out. Alive and Thriving says, God bless you and your family, Tina, and ditto to Zach as well. And thank you very, very much. Looks like we have a caller from Colorado, perhaps. Is 303, is that Colorado?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Okay, all right. Caller, welcome to the program. Can I get your name?
Yeah, my name is Bradley.
Bradley, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Is Tina still there?
Yeah, she's right here, Bradley. You go ahead. What's your question for her?
Well, just wondering if she has somebody I can go to with some information who's safe in Colorado. Even her, if she wants to contact me off the show.
Can you give us a hint as to what the general subject matter is?
Well, shit.
I don't want you to put yourself in danger, like live on the air. But I mean, it might help her to determine who best to assist with.
I'm already in danger.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, it's my family, unfortunately.
Really.
Boulder. Yeah, I just recently I've had proof against the Denver cops, Precinct 1, for many years. Their complicity in drug dealing and, I believe, human trafficking and probably even human organ trafficking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's obviously pretty heavy if the police are involved.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure my family is involved in all this shit, and I have proof that they are using the Boulder and Louisville police to escape justice, to obfuscate the justice system.
I don't know, Tina, that's about as heavy as it gets. I mean, any ideas of places Bradley could go?
You know, there is a lot of human trafficking in Colorado. You know, with I-70 being a major route and then Highway 50, I've been hearing some pretty gruesome things going on. And there are people that I can get you in touch with. So if you will just contact me through my website, there's a contact Tina at tinapetersforcolorado.com and just put in the subject line that you called in on Zach's show, if you would, please.
Okay, so Tina, I'm sorry, Tina@TinaPeters.com. That's it.
TinaPetersForColorado.com. And I'll see if I can connect you with the right people, okay?
Okay. It's all one word, I guess.
Yeah. So you're saying, Tina, that he could email you directly, Tina@TinaPetersForColorado.com, or you could just go to the website, TinaPetersForColorado.com, and there's a contact form on the site? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So either one there, Bradley.
Okay.
I just put in the subject line so we know. Okay. I don't. I'm not affiliated with anything with that, but I do know people that are. So I'll see what I can do to help. Always.
Yeah, okay. Cool.
All right. Good stuff.
All right, I will contact you. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Bradley, I wish you the best, buddy. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Hey, Tina, if there's any way, if you could get my number just in case you don't hear from me. I don't know if that's a possibility or whatever, Zach.
Yeah,
and, hey, thanks for fighting. Man, you're a brave lady, man.
If you're comfortable giving it out on the air, then...
It's on his chat right there, on his...
Yes.
You see it?
Yeah, I see it,
Hang on one second.
I mean, don't get me where I am, babe. They always have.
Yeah.
There's always been a problem, so...
Okay, I have it. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Bradley. We'll talk to you soon, bud.
All right, thanks, bud. Bye.
God bless you. Thank you for being brave.
All right, so we will, Tina, if you got a chance to write that down, then cool, but otherwise I have it here, and I'll send it over to you after the show.
Thank you.
No problem. All right, next caller, you're on the air. Can we get a name?
Can you get a name? You know my name.
DJ, good to hear from you, buddy. How you been?
All right, buddy. How you doing?
Excellent. Yeah, so what's going on, man? What have you been up to?
Yeah, I've been up to a few things. I'm going through a little problems myself, but, you know, I don't complain much.
Sorry to hear that.
You know, people ask me how I'm doing, and I say I'm breathing. And they look at me a little quizzical, and I'm like, listen, it doesn't matter what state you're in, if you're in excruciating pain, if you're in doing great, if you're breathing, you're doing wonderful because you're still alive to experience.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
So, a few things. The child sex trafficking or the sex trafficking thing is bad. I watched your show yesterday. I caught most of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go back and look at the part that I didn't watch, but that was, wow.
Yeah.
That was amazing stuff. And then now to hear, I was going to ask about that in Colorado, but now to hear, you know, what the previous caller just said that and what he was saying, it's got to be handled and fast.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, there are certain states where you have like those major interstate injunctions and stuff. And we've said this on the show before. Ohio is another really bad one. Colorado, it's like the gateway to the West, you know? So, I mean, and with the access to the mountains and stuff, I mean, there's all kinds of places where I would imagine people can hide, but it's everywhere. I mean, it's every single state in the union.
Absolutely. I heard Georgia was really bad. Georgia was like a major, major hub for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Georgia, Arkansas, yeah. Clinton Global Initiative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's take a little look at this, you know, a lot of people feel that a lot of things is all run by white hats. Everything is being run by white hats now, both sides. A lot of people think.
Yeah.
So if that was so, okay, so people are freaking out about the 87,000 IRS agents, the special agents.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I heard that, I was like, well, how else do you hand out 400 and something sealed indictments? You need manpower. And if the police are corrupt, you got to have enough manpower. So that I'm looking at very closely. I think that's the opposite of what people think it is.
I can see that. I absolutely can see that. You know, I mean, when I first heard that, I thought, you know, this is like Joe Biden and the Democrats shooting themselves in both feet. and, you know, like waiting at the bottom of a cliff to just die. I mean, the optics of hiring 87,000 militarized IRS agents are just so damaging. I mean, I don't know how anybody can look at that and think, oh, yeah, sounds totally legit. We're just going to make the IRS the largest federal armed agency in the country, and it's going to be totally fine, you know? So I hope that it's for some altruistic purposes, but, you know, to me, I look at it as just a signal to the rest of the nation that, yeah, this is not the direction that we want to go in. And I think that I said this last night, but I believe it was Kevin McCarthy who said that when we retake the House and the Senate come November, that the first thing the Republicans are going to do is going to cancel that whole thing. So it'll be a non-issue.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be used for the exact opposite thing, as I said. You got to have the manpower to hand out those indictments and go enforce that. So that statement that he made might just be like a controlled opposition statement.
It's possible. Yeah.
Who knows? You know, with the way things are going these days, who knows what's right and what's wrong? You can't even tell a joke.
Yeah. Up is down, left is right. People don't have any sense of humor. That's one of the things that really bothers me the most, DJ, is that I feel like people have just been on such edge for the longest time. Like, people are just very serious now, you know? I mean, there's no room for humor. People don't understand the nuance, and people can't take a joke, you know? And I think a lot of people think, hey, it's no time for humor, but I mean, I don't know. I think that it's necessary if we're going to maintain our sanity through all of this.
Right. That's
absolutely
what's got me through. Yeah.
You have to have some semblance of humor, and you have to have some semblance of something. I mean, for me, it's music, but something that's going to take that space and just take you out of reality for a few minutes, at least a day, so you could come back and get back into the fight. And Tina, I really applaud you for the work you're doing. I really do. And you're a very strong woman. I admire that. Thank you very much.
It's my duty. Thank you.
Now, I'm not even in Colorado. I'm in New York. I'm in like one of the worst states ever. I'm in the heart of it. Thank you. I'm in the heart of it.
Yeah, you can do what you can do in New York. You know, I always say everybody can do something. They can't get us all. So you keep doing what you can do.
I try to talk to as many people as possible, but, you know, I can't really, you know, go too far because of things, you know, just other things. But I tell you, being white hat controlled, me seeing this as being white hat controlled, like Biden, you know, I can see two guys sitting in a basement go, all right, now tell him to turn right. Tell him to walk two steps and stick out his hand. All right, tell him to wait 2 seconds. And he's there, and then they go, okay, Joe, you can move now. And he throws up his hands like he doesn't know what he's doing. And those two guys in the basement are laughing their ass off.
I mean, it sure looks like Joe is basically being remote controlled by like an 8-year-old on, too much Kool-Aid or something. I mean, he doesn't know what he's doing.
All right, Joe. Shake hand. All right, Joe. Say, Mary had a little lamb backwards.
How many times can he shake hands with somebody who's not there? You know, I mean, it's like, I often wonder, like, what are the rank and file Democrats thinking, like watching that happen? I mean, if that was my president, I would be just mortified.
Yeah, me too. There's a guy who lives in my building. He's a little older than me. He's like ultra blue, right? So I was talking to him yesterday, he goes, are you ready for the blue wave coming? And I'm like, blue wave? I'm like, what are you with the 10 other people that believe that's happening? Was that happening?
Yeah, not like
that. Well, that still reinforces that Trump won, because we know how ridiculous this is to see Joe Biden up there and think, oh, okay, so we picked him.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So it reinforces. Right.
That, a lot of people, there have been quite a few people that I spoke to that said, oh my God, I would have never voted for him. No. They said I probably wouldn't have voted because I wouldn't have voted for Trump, but I wouldn't have voted for this guy. Definitely. you know?
I still don't think that I've actually met a real live Biden voter in the last 2 years. I know that I have a particular social circle, but I mean, I just...
I would admit it.
Yeah, that could be it. Nobody wants to admit it if they did.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. They're like, how do you know who I voted? I'm like, come on, tell the truth.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. But just to give you some encouragement, Tina, no one said draining the swamp would be easy. You know, it's going to be a excuse, please.
I said, come help me. Okay.
I'll come help you. I'll be, as soon as you need me, I'll be out there. Zach has my number.
I need you to do it in New York. Help Rudy and my friends out there.
Help who?
Rudy Giuliani and, you know, people.
I don't really have access to Rudy Giuliani, although Eric Adams had been in my building once. I live in a very trendy building. I don't know what the reason he was here for, but he's the mayor and he's an idiot. He's an idiot. He's going around like doing free throws and drinking glasses of water and playing hopscotch. And he was playing in a band or something. And I put up a meme. I put his picture on. Like, doesn't this guy do any work?
Have you seen Selection Code yet?
Yes, I have. Saw it the day it came out.
Good.
Oh, yeah, I am definitely a true patriot. I'm a veteran. I love Trump. That man is the best thing that ever happened to us. Thank you. Thank you for thanking me.
You're welcome. Get that to more people, okay?
Yeah.
Get that to more people.
I will.
And tell them about Zach, okay? Tell them about his program.
Thank you so much, Tina. All right. DJ, I love you, buddy.
Well, I got a couple more things real quick.
Okay.
About what you said about the judges and the DAs kind of being complicit. You know, if you could prove that would be fruit of a poisonous tree. Probably almost every case that they were involved in could be overturned. That's big.
Okay, somebody.
That would be the golden ticket right there, obviously.
Yeah. Send me somebody that knows. You got connections?
What's that again?
I said, do you have some connections? You're up in New York. Are there some connections up there that can find out some of this information for me?
Not that I really have. I mean,
I've heard stories about New York. New Yorkers.
You sure? Come to New York and help me straighten it out.
Well, we got to get through this first. You know, this is the existential question for the ages. You know, I mean, it's so clear that there are relationships that exist in this upper echelon of the justice system. You know, I mean, like, obviously, the DAs and the judges, they know each other. They came up together. I mean, they work together on a daily basis. You know, public defenders, you know, I mean, the only people who really can be, I think, impartial in this whole process are the defense attorneys that are being, you know, they're having their salaries paid by the defendants, the people who are trying to get adequate representation. But I mean, being able to prove those relationships, and even in today's world where I feel like we have put a lot of evidence forward. I mean, there has been so many times where I thought to myself, you know, hey, this has got to be it. You know, somebody's going to listen to it. But too often we have judges and we have prosecutors who see the evidence and they just don't care. They don't have any interest in actually hearing it. Because, again, this corrupt system is what allowed them to rise to the level of power that they're currently sitting at. So why would they jeopardize that?
That's right. And, you know, what's interesting is the people should be able to rise up and say, wait a minute, you didn't rule according to this law. I mean, that's what I'm seeing over and over again. It's concrete. Well, why do we have these laws if they don't have to abide by them? You know, I think that's. That's a fault of our judicial system that we can't hold these guys accountable. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they say something and there is no recourse. And then you go to the next highest court and they say something and there's no recourse, you know, and that's what's happening in Colorado right now is these people have been so entrenched and so selected and they've had time to do this. Like I said, from the very top right down to the city council, you know, when you're talking about local government, I mean, we're, you know, Colorado and other places are, you know, so that's why I'm sounding the alarm and saying we have got to get involved. We've got to call them to task. We need to be visible and vocal. I remember when all this started and I was speaking at a event in Utah and General Flynn was talking to me and he said, Tina, he said, be as vocal and as visible as you can. Because his attorney told him to not say anything, not to speak out, you know, not to be visible, gave him exactly the opposite advice. And he ended up going to prison and being pardoned by Trump. But, you know, we've got to tell the people, we've got to sound the alarm. And if it's not me, if it's not you, then who is going to do it? We all need to step
that's
up.
Right.
You know,
that's
like
right.
The I think one of the ways that we really can hold these people accountable, I mean, there's a couple of things we've spoken about on the channel here before, you know, the concept of calling in their bonds and then also the concepts of recalls. You know, I mean, both of these paths that you can take, I mean, they take a bit of work. I mean, you have to do some investigation. You have to have a team behind you. But I mean, there are people out there who have already kind of laid that footing for you. And all you have to do is have the resolve to make the decision that, you know, you're going to go after these people. You're going to spend some time. And again, there are so many of us out there. I mean, we all don't have to be doing the exact same thing, you know, running for office. That's awesome. Becoming a poll watcher. That's awesome. Becoming a precinct committeeman, precinctstrategy.com. Let me just say that again. You know, downloading my friend Johnny's app, Votify Now. You can do that through the app stores on your phone. You know, and again, calling in people's bonds for the win, running recalls on candidates and elected officials that have not upheld their position, who have not upheld that public trust, and who have abdicated their responsibilities. You know, we can do all these things, but it's just
write letters to the editor.
Yeah, write,
you know,
letters
write
to the editor.
Newspaper. Yeah, make some noise.
There's no shortage of different ways that we can go about this. We just need more people to do it.
That's right. We need people to step forward.
Yeah. All right, DJ, do you have anything else for Tina? We've got a couple other people I want to make sure we get to.
No, basically not. I'm going to say this. When they raided Mike Lindell, they were looking for his patented Phil secret. And when they raided Trump, they were trying to find that damn Trump card. It had to be in one of those piles of papers. That's what I'm thinking they think.
That's great.
And, somebody told me a couple of weeks ago, oh, yeah, you know, we had all this classified information. I'm like, did you see it? I said, because I saw folders that said classified on the outside. I said, now, if I go upstairs and shit in a bag and write chocolate on it and bring it down here, you.
Oh, that's a good analogy. Yeah. Oh, man. It's true, though. It's
all right, listen. Never give up the fight, Tina. Always know God works every time. All the time.
Yes.
God bless you.
Thank you so
much.
God bless you,
Zach. God bless you, DJ.
You know, I love you. I love you. You know you. I know you love us.
Take care, DJ.
Take care. Right. Bye-bye.
Love you, brother. We'll see you soon. Also, I have a friend named Neil that I met at the Moment of Truth, and he said, as a Colorado resident, I thank you for having Tina on and for having her share her story. And he had an awesome GIF or an awesome sticker of you doing the pledge in the same way that I used for the card for the show. So that's pretty awesome. Yeah, I mean, you truly are an American hero, Tina. You know, there was we've had a number of major high-profile incidents, all as a result of you, so many people have woken up, so many people have, you know, made the decision to actually take action themselves. As average Joe Patriot just said a moment ago, what did he say? He said, local action has national impact. I believe that's from General Flynn. But very important. Let's go ahead and bring in the next caller, and I will go through more thank yous here in just a few minutes, guys. Chops ITMC is on his way in and just waiting for his audio to connect. Welcome, Chops. Can you hear me, sir?
Well, I hope you can hear me, Aaron.
Yeah, we've got you. We've got you. Welcome back to the program, sir. Is that a broadsword behind you?
There's a broadsword. There's a Biden, which is a two-pronged spear. So, yeah, I've got all sorts of fun stuff happening.
Very cool. And you also your tinfoil hats, too.
That's yes. Great. I'm still trying to name them. I'm thinking this one might be a little giggles, and that one would be bubbles. But okay. That's just a working theory at this time.
Right on, right on. Well, welcome back to the program. What's your question for Tina?
It's pretty much two, and I'll keep them short. The first is I'm working and advancing the idea that I first heard from Jovan Hunt and Pulitzer, which is if and when you get a mail-in ballot in the mail, keep it sealed, take it with you to the polling place on election day. And especially if you're told that you've already cast a provisional ballot or given a provisional ballot because you've already voted, whip that out, get the sheriff involved, get the cops involved for the identity theft, which is definitely what happened. If somebody counted your vote, I mean, my little brother had his name used in three different places. One, he never lived and outside of state. So, yeah, it's and I've not been able to get my provisional ballot, which whatever ballot they used when I cast a ballot, it was provisional. I don't know if it was the one before or the one after. I've not been able to get any of that information. So, Tina, what is your opinion on just like if someone, if you get your mail-in ballot or ballots, bring them with you and use that as a leverage for identity theft, which is what casting your ballot in somebody else's name or.
Right. No, I think Jovan's brilliant to say that because a lot of times they do. They'll vote for you and then you show up at the polls and you know, they won't let you vote. A lot of people were turned away from voting. So I think that's a great idea to show up. And then you call the police or the sheriff in this case and report it, you know, take a picture of it, report it, call them right then. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. The more people do that, I know a lady who she received a ballot for her daughter-in-law who had never lived in Colorado. The only thing that she'd ever done was she filed something for her. I can't even remember what it was now. And somehow they got her name and address. And that girl had never even voted in the state of Colorado. I remember as clerk, there was a young lawyer from D.C. that I had to call a couple years ago and say, what are you doing? Why is your organization sending people with my address, my clerk's address on it to them, telling them that they haven't voted? I mean, they're getting these addresses and these people's names from magazines. I had one guy say, my dog even got a ballot. You know, we've got to get rid of mail-in ballots. You know, I believe as Secretary of State, I ran on the anti-counterfeit paper, voter ID, that only the people that get ballots are ones that are unable to come in and vote in person. One day voting, you know, we used to have that precinct voting. Go to your precinct and vote. Hand count, we hand count them on that day. You know, we don't feed them through machines. It's very doable. You know, the processes that we would do without machines are so much more reliable. And I know that people would stand up and show up to be judges and do that. We can do this, you know. But doing what Jovan suggested, I think, is brilliant. There's, you know, learning, watching these movies that have already been done and these symposiums, you know, Lindell has put out all by all these experts are important to learn how to circumvent the corrupt system. And I think that's a great idea. Good for you.
Okay, that brings up another thing. The first that came to mind was earlier for the comments. It's like, it just reminded me of an old family song. We've been doing it for generations. It's getting out of jail real soon, getting out of jail real soon. No one's going to stop me. No one can stop me getting out of jail real soon.
Did your family make that up?
Well, I learned it from an uncle who learned it from one of his uncles who learned it from a second cousin, I think.
Well, there you go. It's a family tradition.
Yeah. Proving who you are and proving who you voted for because you're the one who cast your ballot is a very big focus that everyone has to actually take in when they go in and write the names in for who they wish to have that spot, whether it's ground level or student council even.
That's right. That's another thing that I wanted to implement is I wanted to implement that you would be able to, you can go in to your voter history and you can see when you received your ballot, when it was counted and that sort of thing. I would like to see, a private self-made password that you could go in and actually see who you voted for. If that's how they're going to do this with these ballot images, you know, these images that they're taking, then you should be able to go in and see the ballot image of your ballot and in a secure way, you know, and that way it would keep, but they hide behind the, all the voter anonymity, you know, right. That we have to keep how you voted anonymous. Well, I don't care who knows how I voted really, you know, but they could still,
there's ways that they could do it, you know? I mean, like, if your ballot was attached to a QR code that had a unique identifiable number and only that number was attached to the results of the ballot, you could scan that QR code and then it'll automatically pull up a website which only identifies the candidate or candidates that you voted for. You remain anonymous. You have the clarification on whether or not your ballot was cast properly. And then if for some reason it's not cast properly, then they could quite easily have another link that you click to go ahead and, I don't know, perform some type I don't know the words for it, but I mean,
it's
like,
Well, that's so true, Zach. I mean, the Constitution says that you have a right to vote and to make sure that your vote is counted.
Mm-hmm.
Our constitutional rights are being infringed when we don't know how our vote or if our vote was counted. That's a violation of the Constitution. We've got to get back to the Constitution in a lot of this. But yeah, I love that.
All right, Chops, we've got four more people on the line and only about 10 minutes left, so we're going to have to cut it there. But I want to thank you for your call and thank you for the great questions for Tina.
Like your hats.
I'll drop some stuff in the comments.
All right, brother. Thank you so much. Good to see you again. We'll see ya. Okay, and if I could just ask the last four people that we have, I want to make sure we get to everyone and not to go too far over time. So let's keep it relevant. And keep the good questions coming. And Colin, welcome back to the show, friend. How are you?
Oh, tired.
Yeah, I love
that. I was going to say, you're falling asleep.
Yeah, let me mute here. Well, in between that and being in prayer all the time.
Yeah.
I get to, you got to check for those light leaks in your eyelids,
All right, buddy. We've got five people on the line and only about 10 minutes left. So do me a favor and keep it concise for Tina, and we'll get that in there.
I'm going to roll this as fast as I can. Tina, you may probably already know all this, but I'll run a few things by you. And by all means, get my information. I'm up all times, night and day. Let me see. What was it I wanted to say here? One thing, anytime you have a court case, one thing you want to do is get what's called a certified, notarized jacket of the entire case. Do that periodically, because they will take stuff out. They will put things in. All right. The other thing is, look up writ of mandamus. Again, you probably already know what this is. That's how you go to the higher courts, and you they will tell the lower courts they have to abide by the law. Okay? It's a way of forcing them to do what they're supposed to do. Now, a little trick I've used before is that when a judge or somebody else acts in a manner that is clearly unconstitutional outside of their oath, out of the position that they hold, which is called ultra vires, and if they're doing it in such a way that is to harm you, then they are colluding under 18 U.S.C. 241 and possibly 242. And what I do is it's called new evidence, and I add them as a defendant. And it's really interesting when you do that. I did one time where we did it properly the way you requested them to recuse themselves because they're clearly biased privately, then in public, and then to the chief judge. They said no. They called me at 2:00 in the morning. I said, oh, don't worry about it. We'll just add him as a defendant. And without any motion, without any notice, without anything documented, which is required, next thing you know, within 18 hours, we had a new judge.
Wow. That's what we're trying to do right now, is we're trying to get this judge recused.
I figured as much. So you go through the process. There's a process. You do it in private first. You document it. And then you do it in the public by making a motion. And then you go to the supervisor judge. And then what you do is you then sit there and say, do to, and you lay out your case like you would as if you're prosecuting a case. Yeah. And you make them a defendant in the case, because all of these are deprivation of rights. 18 U.S.C. 241, 242 gave you that. Also, you know what a 42 1983 is, right? Deprivation, right? 42 U.S.C. 1983. It's a deprivation of rights suit. And look up 42 U.S.C. 1985 and 1986. If they fail to do something, which they're supposed to, they're now criminals, okay? Mm-hmm. Also, remember in the Constitution, by the witness of two or more to the same overt act or confession in open court, they may be charged with treason. Treason constitutes giving aid and comfort to the enemy. If they are intentionally violating the law in order to harm one of the people, let's be clear, the United States is a corporation that was created. Its corporate charter is the Constitution, and its purpose is to secure the rights of the people. Okay? So when they violate that, they're acting outside, not like ultra vires of the office, but they're warring against the Office of Public Trust, warring against the Constitution, which is in fact treason. The other thing I would do is I would suggest looking into an injunction. I'll give you a quick quote from the Supreme Court. The non-taxpayer is not required to pay taxes under protest and then bring a suit in order to have their property returned. Instead, they may be bringing an injunction to prevent their property from being taken in the first place. So there's a way you can use that same concept to get an injunction or a temporary restraining order against these criminals that are weaponizing the judicial system in order to deprive you of your rights secured. Remember, they are rights that you have that are secured by the United States Corporation in accordance with the Constitution. All right? Now, sue the state. If it is the state secretary and so on, the state itself is liable for its employees and what they do. So you sue the state. Now, I've got a 13-page document that I read. I think I boiled it down to three. By the way, Zach,
yes,
those two attorneys that are suing the machines, what do they call it? The
Dominion, yes.
Dominion machines.
Yeah, Gary.
I haven't heard from them. I took the time to write them a long document. Remember, they said they couldn't sue the state. I thought it was a pretty well-written document that they're completely incorrect on. And the more I got into it, I found out, yes, they're completely incorrect. You must and can. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the 14th, right? So what he was talking about, the 11th Amendment, is incorrect. The wording in itself never says that. So I wanted to make that clear. They haven't called me. They haven't contacted me. Don't know what's going on. Sue the state. Use discovery and depositions. You have the right to face your witness. Use the depositions. They're phenomenal because you can hear. You want to drink here? You want to smoke a joint? Yeah, we're just having a good old time here. And you make yourself so friendly and everything's wonderful. They'll confess all sorts of things. And then you get them on the stand and call them as a witness, and you'll see how they change their tone. Also, think about a thing called a cross complaint. You know what a cross complaint is? Yes.
Send me all this.
I was going to say, Colin, let me just put you guys in touch after the show.
I want to share this because it's an interesting thing God just gave me.
Okay.
A cross complaint is, yes, I ran into your car, but that's because the truck behind me hit me and pushed me into you. So a cross complaint would be, as what I heard you saying, you were obeying the law. You were doing as the law requires. So if you're being charged with a crime, then you cross complaint to the state that required you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And also, I don't know why you don't have immunity, but this is a way of basically enforcing the immunity. If you stayed within the confines of the law, you have immunity from prosecution. So why are they prosecuting you? Again, now going back to the 4219. The other thing is, I wanted to mention this real quick. Why is it you don't have protection? Where are the men? I mean, you know, men, you know, real men that would go, hey, you know, let's take shifts and make sure you're protected when you're walking across the street. If we have to, you know, I've had cars come at me. I jump in the air and go, hey, I'm coming right through your windshield. Okay. I'm taking you out. You taking me? I'm taking you out with me. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for that. I call it Minutemen. We, the people, need to reinstitute Minutemen. Look it up. One other thing. Selection code. I'm supposed to write. Yes. Unido number. Yes, I think Zach already mentioned it. I came up with this thing. You just punch a hole through it, and a unique number on the ballots, and you have three copies. One goes to the state, the other goes to Fed, and the other one goes in your back pocket. You still can have anonymity because it has that unique number, just like any receipt. When you get a ticket, you get three copies, you know, the pink, the purple, you know, blah, blah, blah. All we have to do is do the same thing that businesses does. That's all we have to do. Simple. You can't get that number without proper identification. The other thing is that what I had set up is that when that vote comes up, you can approve it electronically, and then it laser puts in there, if you voted, for instance, for Trump, and your vote is number 2,664,333, it's now laser imprinted on all three copies. So they now can relate the actual ballot, even though it doesn't have your name on it, but it has that unique identification number, but it also has the actual number of the vote that it was for that party. And the other thing I wanted to mention was real quick. What was it? Why don't we, the people, a number of us who don't worry about remaining anonymous, I'll put it together, an affidavit that says, I swear, blah, 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 on such and such a date, I voted for so-and-so. Sign it, and now we can have a third party count it. Now, they're affidavits, so they're acceptable as evidence in court. If we get even two-thirds of the people that are willing to do that, I believe we have enough people, at least for the 20 election, to say, oh, whoops, we got a problem here.
And, wow, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Because I don't care. I'll say who I voted for. I'll affidavit. Yeah. It's a matter of fact. And once you do that, they're screwed. And by the way, Bill Barr would not be able to go, well, I don't see enough evidence to overturn an election. Well, if you don't look, you dummy, you're not.
See. I think that's a great idea. I think that could be a great movement.
Yeah. Absolutely. Good stuff. Well, Colin, Tina, I'll put you guys in touch. I've got your information, Colin, and I'll pass it over to Tina as soon as the show's over.
Thank you.
All right, brother. God bless. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you for your knowledge. Appreciate that. He is a wealth of information, and specifically when it comes to legal matters. I need to say, before we take these last two callers, happy birthday to Erica Freedom. She is out there in the chat, and it's her birthday. I don't know which birthday it might be, and I'm not going to ask you to dox yourself in the chat, but happy birthday to you, and I'm glad that you were here to spend it with us on such an auspicious night. So, caller, you're on the air. Can we get your name?
Yeah, this is Just Duckies.
Hey, Just Duckies. Good to hear from you, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing swell. Unfortunately, I didn't actually get to hear the beginning of the episode. I actually just got off of work.
Okay.
So I caught, BJ Vector. But yeah, this first time calling, and this is one of the cooler things that I wanted to be a part of and just kind of give my input and just kind of show appreciation to you guys for doing what you guys do.
Well, I appreciate you recognizing that. Like I've said, and like Tina said, it's the most important fight that we could ever take part in. I've said this before. My dad served, my grandfather served, and I had a kid real young, so I could never join up. And I feel like I've been able to take part in something that's just as meaningful. And I'm honored to be standing here alongside every single person that's out there in the chat tonight. And Tina, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's it's one of those things because I'm diabetic. So, I've never had a reason to fight. I've never really, I've just recently more woken up to a lot of this stuff. And granted, there's a lot of stuff that's come out nowadays that makes it a lot more, prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's finding different ways to fight and just being a part of, everything. And it's when it's more information warfare nowadays, it gives people different ways to be a part of it and take action.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody has something they can do. There's a reason that you're born within this time period right now. And, I always say there's something that you can do, every single person, whether it's writing letters to the editor of the newspaper, in defense of what's going on, or to call out what is going on, or posting on your social media account, channel, or sending out emails or inviting people to your home, educating people, getting educated yourself. There's always something you can do, but right now we need to sound the alarm. Here's something that I was thinking, and talking with some other, America First, patriots about is if they cut off, let's just do some scenarios, some what ifs. What if there's an EMP? How are you going to get hold of your friends and your family? What if you're like me? What if the FBI comes to your door and takes all of your electronics and everything? Do you have everything written down in a tablet somewhere safe? Do you have other things that duplicates of your papers, your electronics with someone very trusted? Do you have cash set aside in another location? I mean, these are things that everybody needs to think about because, I never expected on November 16th for the FBI to knock on my door. I never expected them to go to a friend of mine's house and bust open her door while she was homeschooling her children, other examples that I can give. So you need to... every American needs to prepare themselves. What would I do if I did that? Do I have all my things in a place that they're secure or duplicates of? We need to get back to writing down with pen and paper in case our phones or our computers are confiscated so we can, or extras of those things. So, there's things that you can do right now to get into that mindset, the mindset of what ifs, you know, what if the unthinkable happens? And then get that out to other people. You know, our world is changing, and there's people that don't like you very much that want to take your freedoms. And so,
if I may real quick, just Duckies, because this is to dovetail on what Tina mentioned there. There is another sponsor of the program that I actually haven't mentioned yet, EMP Shield. You can go to empshield.com/RP78 and use code RP78 to get $50 off. It's a device that will shield your home electronics, your entire home, if there is an EMP attack. And it will make sure that all of your stuff continues to work. You know, if like, you know, there was some attack from China, or if there was a solar flare that would take out the electrical grid, your stuff would continue to work. And so, and that's really all I wanted to say, because I've been meaning to say something about them. But go ahead.
That sounds great.
I know it's really complicated, because being somebody who's, you know, part of somebody who's not important, you know, not saying any sort of significance taken away from us.
Yeah. Don't ever think that you're not important, because our importance is in our numbers, you know?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things, because I'm not somebody who's speaking out like you guys. Like, you know, Tina, you know, you are doing magnificent work, and you're doing something. And I don't remember if it was, I think I was listening to Jordan Sather's podcast, and they were talking about the people who are quiet, you know, they somebody who just kind of sits there and you don't think twice about them. It actually might have been your show, RP, I'm not sure. But it's the people who just kind of blend into the background, who won't speak out, who won't, you know, do anything. Those are the people that, you know, the cabal want in charge, because they're the bland. They won't take control. They're just going to do as they're told, you know, that whole sort of thing.
Spineless bureaucrats.
Exactly. And it's, you know, Tina, you're speaking out. You're bringing to light a lot of the corruption, you know, between, you know, selection code, and you're finding ways. And again, like you guys said, we're definitely the people who need to continue to be outspoken, and we need to rise up to the occasion. That's why we're trying to support you guys, you know, and it's just any way that I can support you guys, I try to. But it's just one of those things where we're all in this together, you know?
That's right. You know, I was in one of my conversations on one of the podcasts I was on, and, somebody said this, they said, you know, cause I look at what's happening to us at similar to Nazi, Germany and the Jews, you know, the people that are compliant, the people that don't stand up. Now, there's the danger of them, of people being led away in all this, whether it's to, you know, COVID camps, or, you know, we don't know what evil they're planning for those that don't comply. But one of the things that they told me, and that was really disturbing to me, is that, because I was talking about the Lutheran pastor that did not like the Jews. And he was preaching. He understood what was going on. But he said, because I wasn't a socialist, when they came for the socialist, because I wasn't a socialist, I did not speak out. When they came for the transunionists, I wasn't a transunionist, so I did not speak out. When they came for the Jews, I was not a Jew, so I did not speak out. And when they came for me, there was no one to speak for me. And he suffered great peril. And I believe he was a Lutheran pastor. I believe he was murdered, but by Hitler. But the point of that is we can't wait till it gets to that point. And somebody was saying today, you know, when the, uh, when, when the people were on the train, the Jewish people were on the train and they were being transported to the concentration camps, they would be screaming and crying and screaming out in the railroad cars. And he said that the churches would just say, sing louder. And, you know, we have to understand that this could happen just like what happened with me, with the FBI raiding my home. You know, this could happen to any American. Look what's happened to January 6ers. Look, you know, people that weren't even on the ground, the grounds on that day are being persecuted for their So we've got to all stand up, and something that you can do, you may not be one that can speak out or have a show like Zach or be in a situation like me that where I discovered or, you know, at that point what happened, but you can do something. So what I would encourage you to do is to find the things that you can do, whether it's, you know, sharing the information, whether it's talking to your neighbors, you know, whatever it is that God gives you to do, and do it well. You know, whatever you do, do it well. And you're not any less than me or anybody else. You're just different in the role that you'll play in these events during this time. Okay. So I want you to know how valuable you are and everybody on this call.
Absolutely. And you know, it means a lot. And, you know, I hear you guys, you know, supporting us in that sort of, you know, aspect. And I really, really appreciate it. And it means a lot, you know, cause like even, you know, cause I'm trying my best to do something that I can do. And like, I'm trying to be involved in like poll watching. So, you know, that's something that, especially listening to a lot of this stuff, you know, that's something that I'm trying to get involved in. I'm trying to, and it's more of like kind of a side thing I'm trying to do. Just like, I'm trying to compile a lot of the information I come across with like the vaccination and, well, quote unquote vaccination. And I'm trying to kind of like compile a lot of the stuff because you get kind of the same thing that's put out from like 10, 20 different people. And it's put out at different times. So, you know, I'm trying to just kind of like compile it all together and kind of give like a kind of like a PowerPoint more, you know, of a sort of thing. So like, I'm trying to, you know, get information on like Dr. Robert Malone and like, you know, all of them and just say, hey, you know, these are the people who are speaking out. This is what their background is. This is what their, you know, everything about them, and say, this is what they're saying. This is their information. And, you know, it's like trying to let them speak for themselves to people who don't hear what they're saying, you know? But I'm sorry, I know you're definitely way over. So I'll kind of go back to what I called about. Again, because I called in late. I tuned in late. I was curious about the lawsuits on Dominion. Is that in Colorado? Because I thought there were a couple states that like just came out and started like announced that they were going to have some lawsuit against Dominion.
So there's the case in Fulton County, Pennsylvania. The class action lawsuit that was Gary Fielder and Ernie's last name. It's in my phone here. Ernie Walker and Gary Fielder. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they had the class action lawsuit, and I believe that they were taking it to the Supreme Court because they had kind of been dismissed on a number of occasions. I haven't caught up with them in some time. I met with their paralegal, their personal assistant, at the Moment of Truth Summit. We got a chance to meet in person, but I didn't get a chance to ask him what was going on with that or if anything else had happened. And I know that they have been helping out on a number of other cases because, you know, they're lawyers and they've got a lot going on. But I don't know of any other specific case against Dominion in any other locations. Tina, do you know of any other cases?
I don't. I know that Eric Coomer is suing Mike Lindell.
Yes.
And Eric and Coomer Joe is the Altman one that. And- yes, yes. And so I got a subpoena. I'm supposed to be, they're supposed to be taking my deposition on November 7th.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, so, and if you think about it, Eric Coomer is the one that has the patents on and was braggadocious in saying that there was no way that Trump was going to get elected, that he would make, you know, expletive sure of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those kind of things are going on. And, you know, I say, bring them on. Let's, you know, talk about let's talk about Dominion. Let's talk about why don't you want the people to know what's inside those machines?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they're fulfilling a function of the government, and the government is supposed to be provided oversight by the people they are supposed to be doing these things for. So I don't care that Dominion is a private company. I don't care that they have code that they don't want people to see. It's all the more reason for we the people to have the ability to look under that hood and take a gander at what it is that that they've got going on. I say we need
Why is it secret? Why is it secret?
Should
I mean, it's not like somebody's going to go in there and start another, electronic voting machine company.
Yeah,
you
know, that's a tight market.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like any of the other voting machine companies are doing anything different than they are. They're all involved in the fraud. You know, they're all involved. ES&S, Hart, I mean, all of them. So it's just a way to keep what they're doing, the nefarious acts they're doing, secret from the people. And that was when Jenna Griswold sued me, is when I said that we need to make these machines more transparent to the people. And she wanted me to recant, repudiate, and basically just renounce what I said on Facebook Live and other places about Dominion, and that I would agree to use Dominion. And I had to sign this multi-page document. And when I didn't, she took it to the judge and said, see, she's going to break the law again. So that's when the judge kicked me out of my office unlawfully. So we're, you know, you have to think higher than who is running Dominion. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a company. I mean, there, you know, that we've seen the effects of Venezuela. We've seen the effects of the Philippines. We've seen globally, there's about 50 countries that have lost their sovereignty because of what's going on with these electronic voting machines. So why do we need them? We don't need them.
No.
We can do this. We can do this by hand. You know, it took us 3 days in Mesa County to hand count the votes.
That would have saved $20,000 right there if it wasn't necessary to maintain Dominion employees. Oh, $100,000.
No, listen, $100,000. So I was negotiating negotiating to go to another vendor before they take me out of the office, and I already had it, you know, set to get done and had talked with the commissioners. It was a done deal right before all this broke in August of 2021. And, you know, we would have owned the equipment instead of leasing it.
Mm-hmm.
We would save so much money. And the commissioners, John Polis, who is the president of Dominion, went in there and convince the commissioners in Mesa County, in little old Mesa County, to sign another extension of the contract until 2029. We had citizens go to that city council meeting, and I'm sorry, not city council, commissioners meeting, county commissioners meeting, with only 3 minutes each allowed to speak.
Mm-hmm.
They lined up for 3.5 hours, all of them begging the commissioners not to sign the contract. At the end, they didn't listen to the people, and they signed the contract until 2029, beholden to Dominion.
That's insanity. Oh, man.
That's just one of the things that it's so telling, because, you know, we can sit here, and I know I've listened to countless people talk about different ways that we can make this cheaper for the United States, make it a lot more secure, make it a lot more, you know, reasonable. And you have people who are just raising their hands left and right, who are saying, yeah, you know, I'll go ahead. I'll designate my time to try to make this, you know, more secure, you know, anything to try to make it better for the United States, make sure that everything counts.
And go to your city council meetings. Go to your city council meetings and tell your commissioners, because they're the ones that do the budget for the clerk's office. Tell them you don't want them to pay for these machines anymore. You know, those are practical things that the citizens can do.
Yeah.
Simple. Listen, Jess Duckies, we've got to take our final caller, buddy.
Absolutely. Sorry to take up so much time. And I appreciate talking to you guys. I appreciate all that you guys are doing. And I hope that you guys know I'm praying for you. So
thanks, brother. Appreciate you. God bless.
Take care, guys.
See ya.
Thank you.
All right. Final caller of the evening. Looks like someone from Michigan. So very familiar with the election fraud there as well. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, what's happening, Zach? What's happening, Tina? You both rock.
Thank you so much. Who are we speaking with?
This is Casey from Detroit.
Casey, good to hear from you, buddy. So what's your question for Tina? Thank you for your patience and hanging on, too.
Absolutely. You guys are worth the wait, and I'm glad you saved the best for last, being me.
Good stuff. So go ahead.
I got a question, but I also want to leave your audience and everybody out there watching or wants to wake up with some hopium at the very end. Tina, as you know, the Democrats, they're beating conservatives up with lawfare. And whether it's, you know, General Flynn, the January Sixers, nobody can compete with the government and all the resources. They will literally sue you into compliance. I mean, General Flynn spent, what, $11 million to basically say he was guilty or put in a plea. And it's like, there's no super PAC. And I know you talk with Mike Lindell or just, you know, any of the big wigs, the Adelsons, anybody out there that has enough money to start a PAC for political persecutions. The Democrats are using the legal system to basically silence any type of fair justice in the system. And I think it all emanated really when you saw Jesse Smollett create a political hate crime and then not get any, you know, real deterrence from it happening again. And if there's no deterrence, they're going to keep doing it. It's like I always say, if you can enact a federal law of immigration, but nobody wants to, you know, uphold it with sanctuary cities, how could you have any federal law that's going to be, you know, enforced? It'll be ignored, selectively ignored, until you have lawsuits. So we've really got to start a political pact where, like the January 6th prisoners, every one of them should have the best lawyers, and they should have all been bailed out. You know, the fact that they're being tortured is a crime.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're being denied their due process. You know, what's I was really upset to hear from one of the guests on the panel about a week or two ago when we did the January 6th panel, that most of these guys have been forced to sign away their right to a speedy trial, like under the under the threat of getting a worse punishment if they don't agree to that, because the government apparently needs that much time so that they can develop the worst case against them as possible. But really, I mean, I think as we found out, it's all about the suppression of the evidence that would exonerate them, because the government has, you know, something like 15,000 hours worth of footage that they're just not producing. They're using selective clips that they have edited together, which make it appear as if everybody there was engaging in some type of violent, you know, horrible activity. But when you take a look at it in its entirety, and, you know, let's be honest, who has that much time to go through it? I mean, that's why it's so important that people are putting in their time and looking through it. But, you know, it's the only way that we're going to get these guys out.
And any of their lawyers are being harassed to the point, and it all happened, like I said, after Jesse Smollett, and when you saw, you know, any the Covington kids, that was a lawsuit, and that brought Lynn Wood, obviously, to to forefame, you know, to the forefront. But that was against the media. Okay, the media paid the repercussions, and there's no private law firms like Cooey Perkins that, you know, are really feeling it, even though they had Sussman and their FBI. The Democrats had an FBI office, all right, which will be exposed. I mean, I'm a big fan of great reveals, and I got to leave you guys with the hopium that we are winning. It may look so dark out there. You know, the key was the raid on Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago. Now, you guys have seen the FBI photo with the stage papers and the banker's box of material.
Yes, I have.
Have you seen the square, the builder's square? They use that for measurement, just like forensics, the police officers, you know, they use it for square, for size, okay?
Yes.
The key here, and this is the sign that we are winning, everybody's saying it's a military operation, you know, the queue, the whole nine yards. I'm going to leave you with this. Look at that photo. That square, that builder square, has 22 black squares, 11 on each side. They conveniently had a document covering 5 black squares.
Okay.
Count up the black squares, it comes up to 17.
All right, I'll check it out for sure. All right, brother.
That proves you're winning. There are no coincidences.
I think you're right. At the end of the day, I mean, it has a lot to do with the numbers that we have, the number of people who have woken up, who've decided to take action. I think it's a foregone conclusion. I mean, we are going to beat them. It's just that we didn't get to be in this position overnight. It took years. It took decades for them to successfully infiltrate every level of our government, you know, state, federal, local, all the way across the board. And in order for us to take that back from them, return that power to we the people, it's a process. And unfortunately, it's...
And there has to be retribution, Zach.
Oh, there has to be.
The good people that have been prosecuted and persecuted, like Tina and anybody else. Mm-hmm. And please, anybody listening or watching, don't fall for the false flags. Mm-hmm. We do not need to have any violence, because basically we win mentally and spiritually. So let's not let violence beget violence, all right? Stay in our lane, and hopefully at some point legally, because we got to create a new legal system that represents both sides. And all I see a lot of that in the Alex Jones trial, which you should probably cover just on a legal aspect anyhow. Because that's a kangaroo court in the January 6th trial.
It's true.
And just remember, the foundation of all this corruption is the elections. Or mm-hmm. this elections. You know, we would not be in this position if there weren't so many people selected, fraudulently elected. And we have to go after this beast, and we have to go right for the belly of it and cut it open. Because until our elections are secure, we're going to continue to have people in office that were not chosen by the people. And are not working for the people. And this is our sacred right. So stay engaged.
And elections are rigged. Elections are rigged, just like in 2016. The key, it was two words, defensive briefings. Trump was never offered defensive briefings, all right? And that was the clue that, you know, the fix was in. They just didn't fix it enough, so Hillary won. And the electorate, unfortunately, Tina, you know, they're either ignorant or they're apathetic. And we got to wake a lot of people up, because the key in the 2020 election was adjudication rates. And that's the whole key behind all the fraud, the counting. Adjudication rates were sky high. Mm-hmm. And they were sky high in Georgia after all you had was 4 people on the ballot. How can people 4 weeks later have that much adjudication? You can't have that many errors on a ballot.
No, it's against the law.
The machines.
Absolutely.
That's why they're coming after me. That's why they want to, they're convening a federal Now they've already had the state grand jury. Now they're convening a federal grand jury. Because the machines hold them dear to this process of overtaking our government, and we have to get involved. This is the foundation of how they are taking over our country. And if we can go after this and we can get rid of these machines, then we can actually have valid elections where people are in there who love our country. And so
go back and persecute and prosecute all the people that were in it, and military
we gotta get this part done first though.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Absolutely.
We gotta get the people in power, the righteous people in power, so we can prosecute the unrighteous.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we gotta get the right people to count the votes and not let them tell us that math is racist.
It's true. It's true. All right, Casey, I really appreciate your call, buddy. It was great to hear from you.
Take a look at that photo, brother.
I will. Right after we get off, I'll check it out. Thanks again, brother. God bless.
All right, guys, have a great weekend.
You too. We'll see you. And Tina, before I go through the final thank yous, Gateway Pundit broke today that a county in Wisconsin has taken away control from Dominion Voting Systems. They have approved a hand recount of the governor, lieutenant governor, and U.S. Senate race for the November election. So we're to see what that will produce there. And I think that that could certainly be something that produces a precedent for across the nation. Over on the Foxhole, Last Right said, so can we donate at TinaPeters.com? Out of state isn't going to be a problem. Can people donate at TinaPetersForColorado.com or TinaPetersFor.com?
TinaPetersForColorado.com. According to our you can only do $1,250 per person or $2,500 per couple. It doesn't matter if it's out of state, but that's what our rules are in Colorado. And we're still working on the recount so we can actually use the campaign funds for that. We have attorneys to pay and that sort of thing. And I'm not getting any of that. That's all goes towards what's going on. And I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Okay, excellent. Thank you to Average Joe Patriot. It says, two great patriots. Thank you, Tina and RP78. Thank you to Lynn's Overit, Porpoiseful, Elizabeth G. Lynn again, Average Joe once more and twice more, Laura Dora. Average Joe says cookie fight. Then there's one more cookie from him. Sean Joe, NXT, Average Joe. Average Joe says local action is national impact. Lynn's over it. Thank you for the shades. Average Joe again says, stay in the love, stay in the light, stay in the fight. Laura Dora, thank you. Thank you to Lynn's over it. One more. Last Rights says, we are the majority. We need to be angry and outspoken. Keep fighting and never back down. Joe once more says, no one is above another. Lynn's over it. Thank you. Gambera, thank you for the shades. Thank you, Lynn, for the shades as well. And Average Joe dropped the link to that Wisconsin article on the Gateway Pundit. And then Just Duckies says, good to know. I saw a couple of places. Thank you guys again and appreciate it greatly. So I think that that's all we have. I'll go ahead and check here on the Cash App and on Buy Me a Coffee as well. But Tina, at the end of the show, I always like to ask my guests, what would you really like the audience to take away from our conversation tonight?
Everybody needs to do something. There's a reason that you're born during this time. If we were all meant to just get saved and go home to be with the Lord, it'd be like cows eating grass. We are here for a purpose. We are here to do something. So do something. Do something meaningful. And here's the thing. For me, I want to hear at the end of this life, well done, good and faithful servant. So use your talent, your treasure, your time, whatever it is. Some people give their finances. Some people give their time. Some people give their talent. Whatever it is that God's blessed you with, do it and do it now. There's an urgency to get this done. And I'm so grateful to all of you that are standing up with us in the fight for this. And support Zach here at Red Pill 78 and all the sponsors of this show and others, especially our patriot friend Mike Lindell. Thank you so much. God bless you all.
God bless you, Tina. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for doing the overtime. I really appreciate that. Mermaid Q on Buy Me a Coffee said, from the Guardian Angel Network on Telegram. So thank you Mermaid Q, to you and your team for all the work that you've done to help me clean up the Telegram channel, get rid of all those bots, and all the great work that you're doing out there on everybody else's channel as well. Thank you to everyone here tonight, and most especially thank you, Tina, for not backing down, for having the bravery to continue, and for everything that you're doing for America. And I will be gone tomorrow, guys, because it's Sunday. I got the day off, but I'll be back on Monday. So until that time, good luck and God bless.